In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I was on call, which meant that I was the only chaplain on duty during a 16-hour shift at the University Medical Center. This was my regular weekly duty during my 2 years of training in hospital chaplaincy. I would arrive at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and leave the following morning around 9 o'clock after reporting to the permanent staff all the calls I had made during the night. I had my two regular areas to cover, but I also carried a beeper so that if any emergency, trauma, or death occurred, I could be reached immediately. I arrived and went straight to ICU to visit my regular patients and families. They were holding on. Some had been there literally for weeks, keeping close to their loved ones. Then on down the hall to the burn unit, where a firefighter was holding on to life after many sacrificing hours of containing forest fires in eastern Kentucky. These were busy nights on call. I had just finished dinner when the beeper sounded. As always, my heart picked up its beating as I knew that someone was in serious need. I walked to the nearest phone answering the call. It was from pediatric ICU. Baby Ashley was near death. As I walked toward the elevator, I prayed as I always did that God would be with this family and this child and that he would slow me down so that I could hear and listen and see their needs, that I would be gentle and not one word would come from my mouth that sounded harsh next to their already broken, suffering, and wounded hearts. God had called me some 20 years before this moment in time. He had called me to share my life with him, and especially with others in just the same kind of situation. I called it then, and I still call it today, a new life in grace. Believe me, every emergency call I've made has been possible only by God's grace. In talking to baby Ashley's nurse, I received the medical status of this precious 8-month-old baby girl. She had a strep infection which had invaded her bloodstream. Antibiotics were not working fast enough, and there was no hope. The young parents and both sets of grandparents were in a private room waiting for me to come. The parents and grandparents and I cried as we talked and prayed for this young life. We held a baptism with Ashley's nurses in attendance, all forming a handheld circle around her small little bed. I stayed with them about 3 hours. I wanted to stay with them until the end, but knew there were many others to minister to this night. I hugged the parents, feeling like a family member, as we had shared this deep emotional time. I told them I would be on call that night and for them to page me if they needed me. That night turned into one call after another, a gunshot wound, attempted suicide, spinal cord injury, only to mention a few. Before I knew it was 2 a.m. and I climbed into my cubicle bunk, reserved for the on-call chaplain. Sleep overtook me, and that was another gift from God. The next morning, I left the hospital not even remembering baby Ashley, as so many other things had happened afterwards. But in my car on the way home, each of the family's faces surfaced before me, and I prayed for their strength and courage in the face of death. Now, as Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story. About 3 months later, I was walking down the main corridor of the medical center when I heard a voice shout, "Chaplain Barr, Chaplain Barr, wait, wait." I turned around and saw a young woman running to greet me. I had really no immediate recollection of this woman. She introduced herself to me, realizing that I was blank. "I'm Amy," she said. "Remember me? I'm Ashley's mom." I felt so badly that I had forgotten her, and then the pain and sorrow of that night returned to me. Just as I was beginning to express my sympathy to her, she blurted out, grabbing my arm, pulling me toward the elevator, "You've got to come see Ashley. She's up in ICU. The doctors found out she has an infection, and it was because of a heart defect. She's here to have it repaired." She was talking so fast that I couldn't take it all in. Was I really on the elevator going to see Ashley? We walked into ICU, and there sat Ashley, smiling as we approached her. I had never forgotten her beautiful face, but this time it was all pink and healthy looking. Just 3 months earlier, I had baptized an ashen gray little baby fighting for every breath she took. Her mother picked her up and handed her to me. I was so shaken, I had to go sit down. As I sat and rocked Ashley, tears of joy filled me. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. To me, she was literally raised from the dead. Through my tears, I laughed at my own ignorance and disbelief. Jesus' word spoke to me clearly, "Oh, ye of little faith." As I was about to leave, Amy looked at me and said, "Chaplain Barr, this surely is God's amazing grace." Second story. Jesus is headed toward Jerusalem, and 10 lepers beg for mercy. He hears their cry and sends them to follow the law of the day. "Go and show yourselves to the priests." On their way, they are made clean, every last one of them. But one, recognizing that this has happened, turns back praising God and thanking Jesus. Something different has happened to this one. He not only sees that he is healed, but he recognizes the source. The sight and recognition is every bit as much a gift as the healing itself. Jesus saw and had mercy. Now the one who has received mercy turns back to Jesus, falls on his feet, and gives thanks. This gospel story reminded me of a young mother's eagerness to tell and show me the grace of God. As Amy pulled me along to the ICU, she was filled with gratitude and thanks for God's mercy. It also reminds me of how often we fall short give thanks, as did the remaining 9 lepers, grabbing our gifts from God, taking them for granted, expecting the outcomes of our requests to be given to us, and experiencing grace without even a thank you. Again and again, I realized the impact of my own stories of grace, that they must be told and shared. These stories are not always ones that have perfect endings, but they always teach me about God's goodness and grace. These gifts of grace invoke, elicit, and even demand a response. Not because it's the proper thing that I ought to do, but because, in fact, I can do nothing else. This is how I knew I had to devote my life to ministry and to Christ. My own experiences with illness, suffering, and pain were so overwhelming, so life-changing, that it had to be shared. I'm not surprised that this gospel falls right in the middle of what we call stewardship, our considerations about giving back to our community of faith. Which one of us, having found the lost coin, the lost treasure, the lost son, and the lost sheep, would not want to share this with our neighbor? Which one of us at St. John's Episcopal Church in Versailles would not want to share the good news that God's grace has sustained us in these difficult times of our diocese? In fact, one of us did say thank you this weekend in the Lexington Herald Leader. Our own Vicki Dove wrote an article of gratitude for Father Allen's ministry here at St. John's. Which one of us can do nothing else but say thank you? Jesus saw the lepers and they were healed. One of them responded with praise and thanks. There was nothing else he could do. The great mystic and theologian Meister Eckhart says, when you think you need to pray, thank you is all you need to say. Soon enough, we, with the faith the size of a mustard seed and our basket full of burdens and doubts, we who in a moment will share a meal with the Lord Jesus, the one whom the kingdom of God is present among us, and having been assured by grace that our faith has made us well, we will be called, all of us, to get up, leave this place, and serve. We all will be called to reach in and give out of our abundance. And we will be asked to say thank you. We have received gifts we neither deserve nor understand. It invokes, elicits, and it demands our response. What else can we do? Amen.
Amen.